Hello and welcome to a summer edition of Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindel.
And today's show is not brought to you by anybody. It's a bit of a reprieve from our typical format of the podcast. We have lots of stuff from the last year plus of doing the podcast that we've decided to repurpose as we take a bit of a break ourselves from recording each week. And so we hope you enjoy some of these very wonderful segments. We don't know which segments they're going to be as we record it. So let's just guess, Katie, what do you think should be some of the segments?
What have been some greatest hits? I feel like we're going to get a... Did either Stan Van or did someone say this?
Yeah, did Stan Van say this, I think, is a pretty much a classic at this point.
That's coming out.
We got a new version of Sean Keane doing impressions as well. I know we replayed the first one around Christmas, but if it's we got a second version of that, so I bet that'll be in there.
Well, we have a live reading, like a NBA theater problem. Maybe we might. We might.
Oh, yeah. We did the Halloween episode. Maybe we'll hear the Halloween episode, the Ben Simmons swamp creature one. Yeah.
We could also be wrong about all of this.
Yeah, there's a very good chance that our wonderful producer Dylan has already decided which segments we'll be airing, and we've totally gotten it wrong. But, you know, maybe we'll be right. who's to say? Oh, I bet the one that will get used is where we tried to compare NBA teams to 80s bangers with such one. Classics. Yeah. Like, I forget the songs we use, but I feel like Beds Are Burning was in there. The title of the podcast was Bens Are Burning, so I think that was about Ben Simmons and also 80s songs. Either way, Katie, I hope your summer is going well. Is it going well this is aired on the second week of August? How's Summer League going? You've already been there for 4 days at this point. How's it going?
I hope it's going well.
Awesome. And then how's it going for the week after that? Because that this could also be airing then as well.
I hope it's all going well.
Yeah, I'm going to guess August was pretty tight. That's, I think, going to be the blanket statement. All right, without further ado, let's get to it. Some of our very classic segments that you're going to hear, not just this week, but in future weeks as well. You'll probably hear this very, very clunky opening as well. It's difficult to do an opening for a show that you don't know what the content is going to be, as it turns out. But we love you. Thank you so much for being our supporters. Thank you for being cool with us, taking a little bit of a break. We have a very fun Patreon episode coming up later this month. We recorded with our friend Joey Devine the day after our last recorded episode, and it was an absolute blast talking mascots in a deeper and more deranged way than we ever have. So that's coming out later this month, and you have that to look forward to. But for now, enjoy it as we play the hits from Basketball. All right, we continue on here on Basketball. I used like 11 H's there, Katie. It's the most I've used so far, I think. as we continue to talk about a pair of figures in the NBA who are cause for a lot of joking and I guess also on-court exploits too in their own ways. Let's piggyback off of the Last Dance talk. One of the main things from the Last Dance was the random little pops that Benny the Bull made into the background of a lot of like the very intense shots of, you know, national anthems being sung or championship celebrations. And you have Benny the Bull constantly making cameos. And because of this, I thought we should start a new segment, which is going to be mascot theory, where whenever a mascot hits the news for some reason, whether they have surgery to be less horrifying, whether there's a new mascot, whether they do a special dunk of some kind, we're going to dive deep on the history and theory behind the mascot. We'll talk about their ranking within the league among all the other mascots and sort of rank their different attributes. And Benny the Bull feels like the perfect mascot to start this all with, because he might be the most famous mascot in the NBA, certainly the one who's most in the news considering his many appearances in The Last Dance. And so, Katie, I thought we should spend some time discussing Benny the Bull today. Do you have any initial thoughts on Benny the Bull and his existence, who has been the Bulls mascot since 1969, the longest serving mascot, I believe, in the NBA?
Yeah, I was going to say Benny is a classic mascot. And I had a feeling he was one of the OGs. I mean, I don't have anything really bad to say about Benny, which is a good sign, because I have a lot of negative things to say about, you know, most mascots, I would say. But I like Benny. I feel like he's a classic. He's like the equivalent of like a white t-shirt and like blue jeans, you know?
Yeah, he is. Like, when you think of NBA mascots, he might be the first mascot who comes to mind. So a little bit of background on Benny and where he's come from. Of course, 1969 was the year he was inducted. His full name is Benjamin T. Benny Bull. And of course, he's been haunting the hallways at the Chicago Stadium and the United Center for 45 plus years now. As the Wikipedia page for Benny the Bull suggests, he is popular as among he's just as popular as the franchise's most notable figures, including Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and Phil Jackson, which is quite the accolade for Benny the Bull to carry. He was named by Forbes in 2013 as the most popular mascot in sports and won the 2015 NBA mascot of the year. There was a bit of a redesign, though. So original Benny the Bull was a bit portly. He had these sort of googly looking eyes. He almost looked like a pig a little bit. He had a bit of a pig schnoz on him. He had a jersey. I think we might have mentioned this last week, or we were talking about this off air. But at the time of his inception, Benny the Bull had like a hula hoop inside the costume to sort of give him that girth around the waist. That has since changed. 2004, there was a changeover as Dan LeMonnier, the man inside the last edition of Fat Benny the Bull, retired from the job, and it was taken over by Barry Anderson. In 2004, I guess to sort of match Barry Anderson and his more athletic build, they slimmed down Benny the Bull significantly and made him more muscly, made him more athletic, made him more able to do things like dunks and different on-court shenanigans. So the question here, Katie, is what do you think of the transition from chunky Benny the Bull to modern day Benny the Bull? Was this a good move for the team, or do you long for the days of a portly, sort of ragged looking Benny the Bull?
I like Benny now. I thought the kind of bell shaped like he was cute, but he's pretty cumbersome and also just like not very practical in terms of like the speed at which he needs to run down tunnels, like really kind of, you know, skinny underground tunnels and get around people to get onto court. So I'm sure he like got caught up a bunch of times. Maybe he knocked some people over. So it's good that he's not like a hazard, you know, because that's like a hazardous workplace, mm-hmm. not just for Fat Benny, but for all the people, all his colleagues. So I think the transition was a smart one, but I don't know if you're going to get to this, but I saw it in The Last Dance at some point. There was a weird like iteration of almost like a roid rage Benny the Bull. Did you see that? Did you come across this in your research?
I don't think I saw that, but I think I might know the explanation for it.
It looked like if a man was like extremely jacked off steroids, but also if a bull had mange. So it was like a kind of terrifying combination.
So I think who you're describing right now is Da Bull, who is listed on the Wikipedia page for Benny the Bull, as well as the Bull's website, as the cousin of Benny the Bull. So okay, I'm going to just read this excerpt from his Wikipedia page here. The current most popular Benny has had many relatives or family members over the years. His great-grandfather in the late 1960s was the first NBA mascot. This is original chunky Benny the Bull we're talking about. Many other variations / family members of the Bull were passed on to different ones, including Benny's chubby predecessor or father in the 1990s, so a different version of chubby, portly Benny the Bull, and a slim dunking bull mascot named Da Bull was added at the time. According to an article on the Bull's website, Da Bull is Benny the Bull's cousin, and he made his first appearance at a Bulls game during the 95-96 season. That is why his uniform number is 95. Among Da Bull's many talents are tumbling, gymnastics, playing basketball, breakdancing, reading, officiating basketball games, and most importantly, performing his signature slam dunks. Da Bull does not have a tail like other Bulls. He lost his tail while practicing his amazing dunks at the United Center, much like Gerald Green lost a finger while dunking on a weird net. By not having a tail, Da Bull has been able to perform even more slam dunks and tumbling because his long skinny tail no longer gets in the way. An injury to his hoof in the 1999-2000 Bull season sidelined Da Bull briefly, but he returned to the trampoline after a short recovery period. His performer, Chester Brewer, was arrested in 2004 for illegally selling marijuana from his car, therefore retiring the mascot. Oh my God.
You had so much fun researching this.
I really did. This was the highlight of my evening last night, looking into most particularly Da Bull's backstory. Do you think now that, of course, the laws and the feelings in society towards marijuana have been either completely removed or loosened a little bit, do you think we should be in line for a Da Bull return? Or does current Benny the Bull kind of make up for the dunking that Da Bull would provide? Because clearly the impetus for having Da Bull was the lack of a dunking mascot. When you have the chubby father to Benny the Bull, who was not much of a trampolinist or anything like that, more just sort of a friendly crowd pleaser, Da Bull seemed to fill that hole. I'm guessing current Benny the Bull is a bit of an amalgamation of past iterations plus Da Bull, who retired just before current Benny was brought into action.
It's hard to keep up with all these bulls. I will say weed like loosening of like weed laws really depends on where you live, and we're saying that because we live in Canada, so I don't think this that's true across the board. But no, I don't want that weird thing to come back. Like I said, it was like very distressing to see glimpses of it in The Last Dance. It, like I said, it looks like a roid-raged man, but also an animal that's like succumbed to mange or like rabies. So no, I don't think it's healthy on either for either species. And I don't want to see that again.
I do like the idea of a mascot costume that just reeks of weed. The dude out there doing dunks and then going up to children and just, you know, parents knowing what's up, children not really being all the wiser. That seems pretty fun to me. Of course, after Da Bull is retired because of crimes, current Benny the Bull comes in and kind of takes over the show and is famous for many things, including throwing cakes, shooting t-shirts out of his bullzooka, as well as using silly string, banging on his drum, interacting with the crowd, taunting opposing players.
Did you say duh crowd?
Yeah, sorry. I have double on the mind. also tearing duh pants off of other players on the other team with their tearaways. He's always up to little things. He's also got now two inflatable mascots by his side named Big Ben and Benji. Benji has an appearance similar to Lil Benny, who used to appear alongside Benny on the court. There's so many bulls. Oh, my God. But yeah, Lil Benny's design is based on original Benny. Benji is a little bit smaller, I think, and kind of this is all hurting my brain. There are so many bulls mascots, but I don't know. Well, of all of the things current Benny the Bull does, he also has a trampoline dunk crew with Benny and the Elevators being his team there. There's just a lot to take in here. What is your favorite thing about current Benny?
I just like that he's a chiller. Again, I feel like he's a classic representation, like maybe of like Americana, sure, but like he's just like, yeah, he's like a comfortable classic to me. He's like blue jeans, like Levi's and a crisp white tee. I don't even mean yeah, like because he's a bad boy. It's not like a James Dean thing. It's just he's a classic, so I don't think you really need to mess with that. I remember being pretty upset that I didn't ever come face to face with him in the tunnels in Chicago during All-Star. Queen Latifah, yeah, but that was a letdown compared to Benny.
I think the thing about current Benny is, yeah, he is classic. He is the PB&J. He is so comfortable, and it just, he's not, there are a lot of mascots, I think, in the league that have like intense, you know, horniness to them, where they have like truly demonic tendencies. We'll get to my friend King Cake Baby, I'm sure, at some point in this podcast over the course of time. You know, there are some who are, I think, you know, very benevolent and, you know, very like obvious causes of good. Benny, I think, kind of rides the line. He's just a neutral, but he's like, he is the mascot from which all other mascots kind of derive their influence. And then they kind of go in their own little streams of how they want to behave and the ways they're going to conduct themselves. Benny, would you say, is like the dad of mascots right now?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't really view them in like a familial way. I don't think, I guess I like that Benny has this extended family, almost like Snoopy.
Right.
That's kind of comforting, even though some of his family seems problematic, but that's also just like real life. So yeah, sure. He could be the dad of mascots.
Another note on Benny the Bull is that he is one of the secret characters featured in the NBA Jam Tournament Edition game, along with three other NBA mascots, including the Suns gorilla, Hugo the Hornet, and Crunch, the hottest mascot in the NBA, as we have determined on a past episode of Locked On Raptors. We will further dive into those other mascots, I'm sure, at some other point, but we should probably hand out some grades and rankings here for Benny. I have three qualities, three very important qualities. Sex appeal, where does he rank out of a scale of five bullhorns, where does he rank in sex appeal?
I guess being so timeless, it's like maybe an elusive like sort of appeal. So I'll say 3.5.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
It's not like jarring. You're not getting cartoon like wolf eyes popping out of your head for a cartoon wolf like Crunch. But, you know, Benny can hold his own.
I think Benny's probably about a 4. I like that he's not like an unattainable sort of physique. He's not like ripped and chiseled in a sort of unappealing way. He's just kind of the everyman in terms of, you know, the way he's built. He's slim, but he's not overly toned. And that's really, as someone who is not slimmed or toned, it's what I'm striving
for. He's strong, you know?
Yeah, he's got very sort of useful strength. It's not all for show. And so I'd say he's about a 4. He's kind of like a silver fox as well. He's been around a long time. I know he doesn't have gray hair, but that's kind of what he sort of profiles as, is like a bit of a dilf. You've also got athletics as a category. Where does he rank for you in terms of athletics?
He's pretty athletic. I mean, he's still going strong, right? So probably like a 4.5.
Yeah, I think this is a full-on 5 because we know that over time, you know, lots of mascots have really long runs, or at least the people inside mascot costumes have long runs. You know, the Raptor, for example, has been the same guy for 25 years, and the athletic abilities have kind of declined. With Barry Anderson stepping aside in 2016, we're only 4 years into the new rendition of Benny the Bull, which I would still imagine those Achilles are strong, those knee joints are yet to be sore, and so I'm going to say he's a full-on 5 for athletics. Overall quality, out of 5 bullhorns, where does Benny the Bull rank for you, Katie?
Well, this is interesting because we're going to use this going forward, right? So it's like, we're grading perfection. So it's like, this is the standard, right? So that's why I'm hesitant to say 5. I'll say 4.5.
Okay. Well, I think there are going to be different degrees of fives over the course of time. And it might be different, scales we're measuring on, too, as we get to different mascots. I don't know. I'm still making up the rules for this as I go along. But I feel like Benny is the sort of standard. And I feel like from here forward, it's going to be sort of a compared to Benny type of thing. Right. And so we'll probably by the end of this have sort of a composite ranking of all 30 mascots, or I guess 28 mascots with a couple teams not having them. And we'll probably have it'll be more, instead of scores, it'll be more of a ladder of sorts. But I think right now Benny is clearly at the top of the ladder. He's a 4.5, if not a 5. And I look forward to seeing if any mascots can challenge that title.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, you must be really excited about next week's game on Tuesday. Is that correct?
Does he have any other mannerisms?
King Cake Baby, is Charles Barkley your father?
Hey.
Open your eyes real wide, Chuck, for 2 seconds.
If you didn't have blue eyes,
y'all going to be scared little kids.
When it comes to King Cake,
baby, little
Charles Barkley, you are the father.
Oh, thank you to our friends over at Inside the NBA for incorporating who I think, frankly, should be the 5th member of the panel, King Cake Baby, into a segment last Thursday. Look, everyone, it's mascot theory time. We haven't done this in a little while. I think the last one we did was for Benny the Bull a few months back. If you don't recall, this is a segment where I kind of run through the lore of a mascot who is in the news or that I like in particular, and we talk about them. And today is a particularly horrifying one. King Cake Baby. Horrifying if you misunderstand King Cake Baby, I guess I would say. If you are wise to it, you understand that he's actually a force for good in the world. Kind of like Waluigi, but for mascots, I guess, is kind of how I'd compare him. But anyway, we're going to learn about King Cake Baby today. Before we get into it, Alan, Katie, I want to get your initial thoughts on King Cake Baby. Alan, we'll start with you. Are you a King Cake Baby fan, a supporter? Are you terrified? What's your overall impression of KCB?
I think I'm all three. He's very scary. I don't know what's going on. Something about New Orleans and their mascots, they just know how to make the most terrifying looking thing every single time. It's so scary. And then I'm also finding, I just Googled it and I'm just looking at these like baked goods with this like little plastic baby in there. And this is also scary. I don't like this entire thing.
Wait, you're telling me there wasn't a King Cake week on baking show? Come on. What are the producers doing?
I can't confirm or deny that as per CBC's NDA, but I'm just saying, watch for episode 4. I'm just saying.
Katie, what I subject you to so much King Cake Baby talk. I've commissioned you to make me a King Cake Baby mug. You've probably had enough of my propaganda among our dearest pal. But yeah, what are your overall impressions of King Cake Baby?
Yeah, he's a psychological terrorist. You know, I hate this. And you're asking me to like put into my creative hobby the like producing this for you. That's also like he's taking over parts of my life I never wanted it near. And you know, I will call it because I don't understand where it's come from. I think it's a demon personally. And Alan's point about New Orleans mascots is at like incredibly apt. The first iteration of Pierre, like actually a demon from hell. You know, like I've seen you could do like kind of along sides of like ancient I don't know, just like antiquity art or like classical art, and you've got like a pretty, I think that's the prototype they worked off of basically for Pierre. I like the photos. Like I like the photos of it without like its diaper on and those weird skinny legs and just like I know you like it seems to be back on social media again. I like that it admitted to it doesn't speak, it just tweets. It's terrible, man. I don't know why you like this thing so much.
Because, so look, I think King Cake Baby is sort of a pioneer in the mascot game. And I think Gritty, who of course is the Philadelphia Flyers' famous mascot, I think is derived from the sort of energy that King Cake Baby provides. That sort of, you know, if he's on your side, you're happy he's on your side type of thing. I don't know why mascots are all so cuddly and nice and fun. They should be a part of the team. Basically, they should be intimidating the other, the opposition. And I can't think of anything more intimidating than King Cake Baby standing under the basket while an opposing player from the Memphis Grizzlies takes free throws. I just think it's a good thing to have on your side. So let's dive into the lore, the creation of King Cake Baby, and some theories on the age of King Cake Baby and all that stuff. And I guess the fatherhood, maybe Charles Barkley is in fact the father. I don't know. But the King Cake Baby was designed by Italian-American artist Jonathan Bertoncelli in 2009. It was introduced as a secondary mascot for the New Orleans Pelicans in February 2014. There's some speculation that it may have been worked in during the Hornets era prior to that, but I don't see any actual concrete proof or photos or anything like that of him or it. Again, we probably shouldn't gender the baby because who really fucking knows? But
it's Italian American.
Yes, sure. Yes. the earliest appearance seems to be February 2014. And it kind of pops up around this time of year, around Mardi Gras every year, and kind of sticks with the team for the remainder of the season. Actually, one of the biggest reasons last year's NBA season stoppage was so disappointing, aside from the global pandemic, was the fact that King Cake Baby's run got cut a month short last year. But, you know, so the second most terrible thing that happened last March. Of course, King Cake Baby is inspired by the dessert King Cake, which is made all over the world, but is particularly endemic to the Louisiana area around Mardi Gras. It is a cinnamon roll style cake, often covered in an icing. You can work in some pralines, you can work in some cream and some strawberries if you really want to get fancy. If you do that, it's called a Zulu King Cake. And you also can do it with a coconut filling as well. There's lots of different of ways to prepare it, of course. And the main signifying element is the little plastic baby representing Jesus that is found inside the cake.
Oh my God.
Honestly, the little plastic babies are far more terrifying than the mascot itself, if you ask me, but that's besides the point. of course, the baby, it's sort of like a game style thing where when you cut into it, whoever ends up getting the piece with the baby in the king cake, depending on your interpretation of the tradition, either means you're going to have good luck over the next year. It either means you have to purchase next year's king cake, or in some readings of it, it means you're going to get pregnant very soon. So that's basically the king cake thing.
No, also, all three of those.
Yeah, it could be all three. Very, very, very possible. Also, bakers have recently begun placing the baby outside of the cake to avoid liability for any choking hazard. And to me, you can't eat this cake without choking on the little baby. Darwinism, I guess, kind of kicks in here, at least in my perfect world it would, but whatever. So that's the sort of inception of the idea. There's been some controversy around King Cake Baby over the years. In 2019, the creator, Jonathan Bertoncelli, sued Universal Studios after the film Happy Death Day featured a slasher killer that seems very derived from the likeness of King Cake Baby. Unsure as to how that lawsuit was settled, but if you pull up the photo of the Happy Death Day killer, you can absolutely see the kind of uncanny likeness between the two. And I hope Jonathan Bertoncelli wins this lawsuit if and when it has not yet been won. So that's King Cake Baby for you. He's regularly featured in, you know, Pelicans videos of like surprising season ticket holders with tickets for the next season and things like that. Do either of you have any particular memories of a favorite King Cake Baby appearance? Katie, I'll throw it to you first. Anything in particular stand out from King Cake Baby's time haunting the NBA?
I just want to say, I don't think it's fair to make a lawsuit. Like, if you created this thing and then released it into the world, I think you just have to let it go. You know what I mean? You got to take full responsibility. You don't claim it anymore. It's its own evil force and entity. But what I don't know, not really. I think, again, I always just think of the picture of it with its, like, diaper off and its weird skinny legs.
Yeah.
And it's like finger up at its mouth, like it's like, whoops.
Yeah. The one where it's not wearing any pants, it does kind of look like when in a movie they cut off a cast from like a leg or something after months of it being on. That's kind of what it looks like inside the husk of King Cake Baby. Alan, do you have any particular high notes of KCB's career in your mind?
No, I look forward to the day that someone banishes it back to hell. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's so scary. And the fact that like a horror franchise took your face and made it into a horror mask goes to show you that this shouldn't have been a thing. Like, I don't know how many people greenlit that. Like, that passed through a lot of hands to like in focus groups. And I don't know, I guess it kind of plays into that kind of New Orleans tradition of like scary stuff like that. But like, come on, man. No, I don't like it.
I think
I also don't want to be rude, but it's like not that artistically, like I wouldn't look at it and be like, wow, a work of art. Someone created it. I feel like it's like a child's sketch come to life, you know, like a creepy child's drawing.
It does in a way kind of look. Have you ever seen like the attempted renderings of what Simpsons characters would look like if they were real people? Does kind of look like that. But again, I think all of these things are features and not bugs. I think mascots should lean into being terrifying across the board. Like, imagine you hate Clutch the Bear, Katie, in Houston. Imagine if he was like a horrifying bear with like blood dripping from its
mouth. You love Clutch. I don't love Clutch. So
you talked me
theory.
Off the Clutch corner. No. Like, Clutch is fine. I'm a King Cake Baby gritty acolyte now, and I think all mascots should incorporate some element of horror, because again, you're trying to intimidate the other team and I guess scare children in your own arena. I don't know. One of my favorite instances is when King Cake Baby was on the jump at All-Star New Orleans with Zach Lowe, Jason Terry, and Rachel Nichols, and is just sitting on the panel as they break down basketball earnestly. That's a pretty good one. And basically anytime he's sort of featured in the background and kind of lurking opposing team's players. Again, if you look up Jordan Clarkson, King Cake Baby, I think speaks to the value of King Cake Baby. I'm not sure on the date that this picture was taken.
What did it do to Jordan Clarkson?
So there's a picture of the, like, I guess it's the Lakers in the tunnel getting ready to go play. And you see King Cake Baby kind of lurking in the background, and Jordan Clarkson's doing like a Jim Halpert look at the camera, like, what the fuck is this thing? That's the kind of psychological torment you should be inflicting upon your opponents, I think. Have you guys been able to pull up this picture? Should I send it to you? This is good podcasting.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, that
very
is
very concerned. Mm-hmm. If you can isolate that so only the away team can see that, and then tell them that it's not there and make them, you know, kind of question it, that's cool. But I have to see this as a fan. I don't know. I think keep that out of the arena.
He kind of looks in awe. Like, he looks a little bit impressed. Do you know what I mean?
A little bit, yeah, for sure. My other thing that should be an implementation, a different implementation of King Cake Baby as well. I think like Stan Van Gundy could use KCB to his benefit here. If the Pelicans, for example, are playing a particularly porous defensive game, I'd like to see a timeout where Stan doesn't even enter the huddle. Just unannounced, King Cake Baby takes Stan's seat and just stares at the team for 30 seconds and scares them into playing defense. I feel like, you know, we've kind of seen a lot of different fun coaching tactics in recent years, from Nick Nurse's box and one to all sorts of different things kind of to counteract the high level of offense in the NBA. I feel like King Cake Baby fear is the new defense that has yet to be discovered by Stan Van Gundy. But if someone's going to do it, I think it's Stan. I feel pretty good about it.
I don't think Stan has like time for mascots, but I guess if he did, mm-hmm, this one would be pretty efficient.
Right. I think that's kind of all the King Cake Baby theory we have. You guys seem positively grossed out, so we can move on. But shout out to King Cake Baby forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you, by the
it's,
way,
it's hard to look away.
It's psyching me out right now. And I'm not even shooting free throws.
If you join our Discord chat, by the way, my profile picture in the Discord is of King Cake Baby, so you'll get to see that as well. Reasons to sign up
people
for the
are
Patreon
leave
number
because
10,000.
Of that.
I just
did you make King Cake Baby? Are you the artist? Are you part of
I did not. Look,
this is a long plug.
Here's the thing: is
made a whole
credited
podcast about basketball just.
Here's my theory, though, is it's credited to Jonathan Bertoncelli in 2009 being the year of creation. My sort of lore in my head of King Cake Baby is that KCB is roughly 2,000 years old and has kind of popped up at various mm-hmm points throughout history. We just haven't really seen it, you know, because now we're in the tech age. We can actually see things in real time and there's easy photo sharing, things like that. But I have a sense that King Cake Baby has just kind of been a recurring, you know, sort of bystander of history, just sort of terrifying people throughout the years.
I think King Cake Baby shot JFK. I think that's I won't Google it because it's a fact that I don't have to check facts.
Well, thanks for the title of the podcast, Alan. That solved that weekly dilemma. And with that, that feels like a perfect place to leave it. Solving of a conspiracy theory. We can't top that at all.